praise the Lord, everybody, and everybody ought to praise the Lord. This is Apostle W.D. Carter, your host of Lift High the Cross radio broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. And we are continuing the teaching from the book, The Harlot Church System, by Charles Newbold, Jr. We would like to ask you to turn your Bibles to the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, and we want to begin the lesson today reading from that particular chapter. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go up in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind! For whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon the altar, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind! For whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law: judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? That is quite an indictment against the scribes and the Pharisees in that particular day. Praise the Lord. And sometime as we go along in this teaching, maybe the Holy Spirit will give me a chance to define what was really happening during that period of time in terms of the culture of that day. But I want to say to you, praise the Lord, that Jesus Christ, condemned these people to hell. At the end of that statement that he made, he condemned those people to hell. Those were the religious leaders of the day. Please, I really want you to understand that those people that Jesus was talking to, the scribes and the Pharisees, were the religious people of the day. They were the ones that were explaining and teaching and preaching the word of the Lord to the people in that day. However, praise God, what they did was elevate their commentary, their interpretation of the text, above the text itself. And so what they ended up doing was actually building a structure that morphed into a religious hustle. It morphed into the tradition of men over the commandments of God and had an ill effect upon the people of that day. Ministers who are smitten with the need for preeminence, power, position, riches, and domination have embraced the false teachings of the Nicolaitans and are likely to perpetuate both the teachings and the deeds of the Nicolaitans. They have the same marks that characterized the Pharisees in Jesus' day. In Matthew 23:33, Jesus called the Pharisees serpents and a generation of vipers. The Greek word for generation also translates offspring. Here, Jesus is calling the Pharisees snakes and the offspring of snakes. He continued in verse 33, how can you escape the damnation of hell? The Bible identifies Satan as a serpent. Genesis 3:1-5, Revelation 12:9-20-2. The association between Satan and the Pharisees is without dispute. Why did Jesus call the Pharisees snakes? What objection did he have to them? After all, they were the devoutly religious and zealous to keep the law. The scathing litany of woes spoken by Jesus in Matthew 23 define some of what were the detestable marks of the Pharisees. Though the difference between some of these marks of the Pharisees are little, they are important distinctions to make, not so much to judge others, but to judge the Pharisee within us all. And you need to understand, praise the Lord, that we, as the people of God, based on our upbringing in the harlot church system, have many of the characteristics within us that the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day had. So, praise the Lord, turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2 and begin at verse 8. Listen to this instruction, and this is a very important instruction given to us by Paul the Apostle under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That's what we have to beware of. Beware that you be not spoiled, that you be not ruined, that you be not captured. Okay? Praise the Lord. Through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That warning is important because what happens to us, praise the Lord, in the harlot church system is that we venerate the tradition and philosophies and ideologies and rudiments of the harlot church system above the word of God itself. Praise the Lord. And this is what puts us in the position, praise God, of developing the same characteristics as the scribes and the Pharisees in Jesus' day. Jesus hated the way the Pharisees misused and abused authority. Jesus said to the multitude and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." Moses' seat at that time was the seat of authority, of religious authority. Praise the Lord. The Pharisees assumed the position of authority over the people's lives. You understand? The Pharisees assumed authority over the people's lives. Nobody has authority over our lives except God himself in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody has that kind of authority to dictate how we live our lives before our God. Only God has that authority, and he outlines that authority and his commandments in the written word of God. That's why it is imperative that we study to show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen not needing to be ashamed, but rightly dividing, correctly interpreting the word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Pharisees assumed the position of authority over people's lives. They considered themselves experts in the law. Therefore, they presumed to tell everybody else how to live. The present-day Nicolaitan attitude is seen in that air of self-importance that wants to sit at the head of the table, to be elected to positions of authority, or to be hired to some prestigious office. Nicolaitans typically politic for higher positions of preeminence and authority within the church system. They flatter themselves and seek the flattery of others. Moreover, they pass gavels of authority to designate someone among them as the head over them. Only Jesus is the head of his body, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Only Jesus. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, says, And let's read that text. I don't want to misquote it, as it were. 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. The instruction says, "Be ye followers of me, even also as I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances, the laws, the principles, the statutes, and judgments as I delivered them unto you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The authority over every man is Christ. The leader of every man, whether he is a believer or an unbeliever, is Christ. And the head of the woman, the head of the wife, is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Understand the order. No man of us, no one man of us, not any of us as men, has any other man over our heads, over us, except the Lord Jesus Christ. And we recognize rank and order. Praise his holy and matchless name. But in terms of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ via the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is our leader. And you have to understand that so that you can conduct yourself properly, so that you can realize and embrace your identity as the man of God in the kingdom of God. okay? Whatever you, I mean, you have to come to grips with the reality that, you know, when you go to church, when you go into the temple, you're sitting there, okay, and you see the pastor, the bishop, the elder as your leader. In your mind, he's the only man of God in there. But I want to say to every man that is saved, that has been born again of the Spirit of the living God, that has been water baptized, you are the man of God. You are the man of God. This is why, praise be to the living God, Peter instructs us by the Holy Spirit that we need to be subject one to another. All of you, be subject one to another. Why? Because all of us as men and the men of God operate in authority, in delegated authority. For the Lord God is our ultimate authority, but he has delegated authority to us. We operate in jurisdictional authority. We are the leaders of our family. We are the heads of our wives and of our children. No other man is the head of your wife. And that's the problem, one of the major problems within the harlot church system. Because in the harlot church system, the pastor, the bishop, or the elder, the pulpit, has a greater influence over your wife and over your children than you do as a man of God in your own home. And you've got to deal with that kind of problem. Because the pulpit is able to steal your wife from you right there in the harlot church system, right there in the temple. Anytime your wife comes home and starts telling you about what the pastor said, you have a problem of leadership in your own home. And every wife needs to understand that the greatest influence in her life is her husband, not the pastor, not the bishop in the harlot church system. Let's not get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Your husband is your leader. He has the right of authority over your life. Praise his matchless name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus hated the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. All therefore whatsoever they bid you to do, observe. That observe and do, but do not after their works, do not after their practices, for they say and do not. Hypocrisy is pretending something on the outside that does not exist on the inside. It is the pretense of virtues, principles, or beliefs that are not genuine. Jesus said the Pharisees were like the whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. He called them hypocrites. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now that's something to say. You appear outwardly, you look real good. You look religiously refined, as it were. But inwardly, you're dead men. You're full of dead men's bones. You look like an old coffin full of dead men's bones. That's something to say to the religious leadership, both of yesterday and today. Again, he accused them, saying, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! What they said in keeping with the law of Moses was okay, but their failure to do what they expected others to do was not okay." So it is in the ministry today. The pulpiteers may cry out for everyone else to be sexually pure while pretending themselves to be pure when they are not. They may preach against smoking, drinking, cussing, and dancing while pretending themselves to be holy when they are not. They may call for others to confess sins while they hide their own sins for fear of what others may think. They may condemn politicians for wrongdoing while they continue to do what is most abominable to God, practicing their manipulations, witchcraft upon their people. The whole climate of church is clouded with hypocrisy. The church should be the one place we can go and feel safe enough to be ourselves, but it is not. We put on our masks and hide behind our Sunday morning smiles long enough to fulfill our obligations to God, feel good about doing it, and get to the cafeteria before the Methodists let out. Sunday morning church has little to do with how we live the rest of the week. And all of you know that is absolutely and unequivocally true. We designate Sunday as the day that we go to church and a day where we absolve ourselves of the week's carnal practices. We go there to relieve ourselves. And when we leave, we continue doing what we do from Monday through Saturday. It's hypocrisy. We're declaring that we're on Sunday that we're holy, and on Monday we go on living hypocritically unholy lives. Come on, let's be real. And I'm not talking about how can I put this? The things that we do or don't do being able to justify us. In fact, let's look at it this way. Jesus hated the mean legalism of the Pharisees because that's what we practice. Okay? Anytime you practice legalism, you are practicing self-righteousness. That is, you're attempting to justify yourselves before the Lord. We are attempting to justify ourselves or place ourselves in right standing and right relationship with the Lord by the things that we do or don't do. And that is not what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. Jesus hated the mean legalisms of the Pharisees. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Jesus hated their heavy-handedness over the people and how they impose their laws upon everyone else. And that's what legalism does. It imposes, okay, religious laws on the people. Okay? And, I mean, that is happening this day. Okay? That is happening this day. So, you know, you can't escape this reality. Legalists in churches still bind people to church systems and orders, church buildings, church services and rituals, church giving and church work, things that have nothing to do with Jesus or the kingdom of God. People are made to feel guilty and unspiritual if they do not go to church. How many of you have been accused of backsliding or of not being saved because you didn't go to Sunday morning service? Come on. You know that that has happened in your life. But let me show you something, praise the Lord. Okay, we are not saved according to our own works. Let's look at Ephesians, praise God, chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians, chapter 2, I believe is starting at verse 8. Let's look at the text. Must always qualify statements that you give by the text, by the Word of God, found in your Bible, preferably the King James Version, and I'll explain why, preferably the King James Version as we go along in the study. All right? It says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." See, that's what self-righteousness allows us to do. That's what legalism, that's what practicing legalism allows us to do. It allows us to boast. of our salvation based on what we do or don't do before God. You have to be careful of that. Because when we boast about what we do or not do in terms of our salvation, we literally deny the shed blood, the effect of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on our lives. We deny the blood. And in turn, we deny the Lord Jesus Christ based on our denial of the blood, because we're boasting in ourselves rather than boasting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says here. Praise God. It says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ. You got to remember that. Before you allow yourselves to be overwhelmed by legalistic traditions in your church organization, you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. Look at Romans, praise God. Let me show you something. Look at Romans, the 5th chapter, praise the Lord, and let us look at the 12th verse. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, Romans, 5, I believe it is. Yes, 5. And starting at verse 12. And give me the opportunity to find it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise, glory, and honor. Okay. Chapter 5 and verse 12 says, wherefore, thank you, Lord. No, that's not what I'm looking for. I will find it. It says, the scripture I'm looking for says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and access by faith. We're in this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Here we go. First verse 5. Chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith. That word justified means being placed in right standing and right relationship with our Lord, with God our Father, through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Please understand that, people. You're already at peace with God. You don't have to do anything to garner peace with the Lord or to garner a righteous place in the Lord. You already have it through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't allow the harlot church system to rip you off for your position in Christ. You're in right standing and in right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ via repentance and the new birth experience. It says, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, so forth and so on. Beware of the practice of legalism within the confines of the harlot church systems. Keeping the Sabbath was one such issue between Jesus and the Pharisees. Listen to this, people. Some legalists still make an issue of keeping the Sabbath day holy according to how they think it ought to be observed. They want to make Sunday, sometimes erroneously called the Sabbath, the day of rest, even though for them it is far from a day of rest. It is their high day of church works. Let's look at Romans, the 14th chapter, for a minute. Praise the Lord. Romans 14. Let's talk about the legalism of keeping the Sabbath, and you should know, praise the Lord, that Jesus Christ himself is the Sabbath. He is the Sabbath. There's no more Sabbath in terms of you keeping something on Saturday. No, once you're born again, you have actually entered into the Sabbath. Because what you've done, okay, is you've ceased from your own works, from your own labors, of trying to justify yourself before God. And allow God to justify you through your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We do not keep the Sabbath by going to church on Sunday or by napping all day Sunday. We keep God's law by entering into Jesus through faith. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. Please read Hebrews 4. He is our righteousness. Jesus is not looking for people who will keep the Sabbath day holy. He's looking for people who will keep themselves holy, separated. Keeping the Sabbath day is not how we keep ourselves holy. Romans, the 14th chapter, starting at the verse, first verse. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not the doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth or honoreth one day above another, or another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Do you understand? This has nothing to do, okay, with honoring any particular day. You're saved. You're filled with the Spirit of the living God, and that's what sanctifies you or separates you unto the Lord. That is your position. You are justified. This is your state before God, or your standing before God. Your state, praise the Lord, is dealt with by the sanctification process. The Bible says, now we sin not, but if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you understand these principles, precepts, statutes, and judgments of the Word of God, you will not be overcome. You will not be deceived. You will not be ripped off in the harlot church system. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Holiness is the work of God's Holy Spirit within us, separating us from the love of the world. Holiness is a change of nature from within us as the result of God's work in us. It is not what we do outwardly, but who we are inwardly that matters to God. We are as phony as the Pharisees if we think our righteousness could ever depend upon what we do outwardly, the clothes we wear, the way we fix our hair, the food we eat or don't eat, the way we worship or going to church. We live, move, and have our being in Jesus every moment of the day. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus hated the Pharisees' desire for recognition and how they pursued admiration for themselves, but all their works they do to be seen of men. You see that? How many of you know people who allege themselves to be religious leaders who do the same exact thing? Everything they do is done ostentatiously. It's done to put on a show or to show off who they allege themselves to be. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Phylacteries were small leather boxes that the Pharisees strapped on their foreheads containing quotations from the first five books of the Bible known as the Pentateuch. The Nicolaitans in many church traditions today are enticed by their own lust for self-importance to wear clerical collars, vestments, robes with academic stripes on their sleeves, and other such appointments to distinguish themselves from the laity. A cardinal in the Roman Catholic Church is addressed by saying, His Eminence, or Your Eminence. Such veneration of men smacks insult to God. Jesus calls his disciples to him and said to them, as he would say today, If any man desires to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Are you understanding? And I need to tell you that I was in that trap. I have all the robes, all of the uniforms of the clergy, as it were. Okay? I wore that stuff until the Lord showed me how ridiculous, you know, I was for doing that. And I got rid of that. I repented and got rid of that. I stopped doing that. Are you listening? Okay? Those of you who are hearing this teaching, this message right now, and the Spirit of God is convicting you, not condemning you, but convicting you. You need to pay attention. You need to take heed. You need to repent. You need to apologize. You need to recognize that you have been operating in error before your God so that the sanctification process can continue to work in you. Hallelujah. Because you are in error. You're operating in religious error. And it is doing you harm. It is not harming the Lord. It is hurting the Lord. Okay? But it is harming you. It is holding you back in terms of what the Lord really has for your life. You need to repent of that. That's what David did in the 51st Psalm. He repented. He acknowledged his sin before the Lord and begged God, okay, to deliver him, to create in him a clean heart, to renew the right spirit within him, that he might be able to go forth and teach the people the right way. You cannot teach the people the right way when you're operating in error. Because you are now saying, but you're not doing. Are you listening? You're teaching the people the right way, but you're not operating in the right way yourself. And that makes you a hypocrite, whether you realize it or not. That's why, praise the Lord would put out messages like this to correct you. This is an apostolic message. What does the apostolic function do? It brings order to the house. You're operating out of order. And so God wants to place you back in his order. Don't fight against that. Humble yourselves and receive that. And recognize, praise the Lord, that because the Lord is scourging you, you are a son and not a bastard. Take solace in that and repent and turn from your way and return to your God. Return to your first love. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus hated the self-inflated desire of the Pharisees to be above others. They loved the uppermost rooms at the feast. Okay, how many of you sitting in the Hall of Church system, you know, certain people come in to the congregation and right away they got to have a seat in the pulpit. They have to be recognized immediately. Okay? The host of the temple has to invite them to the upper, to the high, to the seats up in the pulpit. Isn't that something? Huh? They love the uppermost seats at the feast, the inner circle, and the chief seats in the synagogue, sitting in the platform or sitting on the platform. Preeminence is that air of self-importance within the present-day Nicolaitans that make them want to be top dog in the system. They want to sit on the platform in bishop's chairs, making a difference between them and the people. Pastors give other pastors these places of prominence because they love it for themselves. It is that air of self-importance within them that causes them to gloat in their plans, programs, methods, organizations, building projects, heritage, traditions, statistics, and doctrines in order that they might be honored and recognized. It is that air of self-importance within them to draw up organizational charts, pyramiding themselves at the top. It is that air of self-importance within them that wants the bigger church and better salaries. They spare no politics to obtain them. It is that air of self-importance within them that wants the bigger church and better salaries. Okay? It is that air of self-importance within them that causes them to sermonize and wax eloquent from their pulpits in order to be highly esteemed of men. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, praise the Lord, the second chapter. Let's look at it together and see what the Holy Spirit was talking about by Paul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look what Paul said. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our faith should not stand, should not be dependent upon the wisdom that originates from men, but our faith should be in the power of God, as demonstrated by the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It is that self-importance, it is that air of self-importance within them that wants to acquire knowledge with books out of their own intellect and achieve great things in order to be acclaimed of men. They hold their educated professionalism over the heads of the laity, making them out to be one of the indisputable authorities in biblical and ecclesiastical matters. This is the tyranny of the clergy. You know, people recognize you based on you having written a book. Writing books, there's nothing wrong with writing books. But when you want to claim your writing of a book as a badge of honor, as a reason for you to be honored above everybody else, you are wrong. You are incorrect and out of order. Hallelujah. Because any one of us can write a book. That doesn't make us better than the rest of us. It doesn't make us more honorable than the rest of us. Are you understanding that? Hallelujah. It is that air of self-importance with them that focuses upon the externals rather than upon the internals. They are preoccupied with building a kingdom for self rather than building the kingdom of God. They build church systems and church buildings rather than people. Worse yet, they confuse the one for the other. And you know this is true. Praise the Lord. The Word of God teaches us that the fivefold ascension gift ministries was given to the disciples, okay, to the people of God, to disciple them, to prepare them to do the work of ministry, to do the work of the service. Let's look at it together. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Let me certify my statement by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Okay. This way, praise the Lord, you can feel safe in believing what you hear. You know why? Because the Bible says it. Okay. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting at the eighth verse. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first unto the into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturation of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or complete or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body of Christ edifies itself in love. We don't need any outside techniques in terms of how the body of Christ should expand. Glory be to God. We don't need any Madison Avenue techniques. The body will grow in and of itself based on how the Lord has equipped the body to grow and has given each and every member of the body of Christ something to contribute to the edification of the body. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so, praise God, when you have, you know, when you're in the Harlem church system and they have, I've been out of it so long, what they call the building projects. They're raising money for the building and all kind of death gobbledygook, extraneous stuff, okay, religious stuff that they do. It is designed to rip you off and is designed for them to build a kingdom for themselves. That's why it's so important for them to ascertain how many members you got, Doc. Yeah, how many people joined the ministry this year? Come on, people. Let's get real with our own selves. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It is that air of self-importance within them that focuses upon the externals rather than upon the internals. They are preoccupied with building a kingdom for self rather than building the kingdom of God. They build church systems. They don't build a church. In fact, they can't build a church because Jesus Christ said upon this work, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. We don't have a ministry. We can't start a ministry that has already been started. Come on, people. Can we please be real? Hallelujah. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, of which we are honored and allowed to participate in. The Word of God tells us that we are co-laborers together with him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. They build church systems, church buildings, rather than the people. Worse yet, they confuse the one to the other. It is that air of self-importance within them that compels them to pack their bags and run when the wolves of dissension nip at the heels of the flock. They are hirelings. Remember that? They're hirelings, man. It is that air of self-importance within them that causes them to forget that they too are sheep under the staff of the good shepherd. Such pride and haughtiness makes them think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. Hallelujah. Jesus hated their desire for position. They loved greetings in the marketplace and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi, Bishop, Bishop, Pastor, Pastor. How are you doing, Pastor? Jesus continued to exhort them, saying, but do not be called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brothers. Do not call man your father upon the earth, for one is your father who is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. The present day Nicolaitan attitude is seen in that air of self-importance within them that wants to be called Pope. You didn't hear that. See, a lot of you are going to get upset with that because that attacks, okay, your tradition. That's all it is. It's a religious tradition, okay? That's all that is, okay? Within them wants to be called Pope, Your Eminence, Cardinal, Bishop, Father, Reverend. Reverend, Mr. Pastor, and Minister with a capital M. Come on, people. Hallelujah. This is not of God. The competition for recognition is so fierce today that many clergy persons want to be called doctor. Some of them have earned doctoral degrees and some have honorary degrees, but some have purchased phony degrees. They bestow titles upon each other within the system. You know this to be true. They politic for places of authority and seek to be hired by the largest congregation within their reach. You know this to be true. These are the systems, okay, that the pulpit invites to join. Come in. Who wants to be a member of this church? How many of you have been sucked in by that and you've never experienced the born-again experience? You've never experienced the new birth. You know why? Because you joined a church organization. Can we please be real? That's why you designate yourself or you identify yourself as a Catholic or a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian. Because you've joined the harlot church system. One of the denominations within the confines of the harlot church system. You haven't been born again into the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And that's why you're still operating in your flesh. Glory be to his matchless name. Hallelujah. 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Very quickly, because my time is running out. I just want to show you something here. Something really, really important. Okay? First verse of the eighth chapter. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What is the writer saying there? What is the Holy Spirit saying there? Okay, notice the order of the words. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those of you, praise the Lord, who claim, okay, to be in Christ Jesus, but are still walking according to your carnal preoccupation, are not saved. Don't try to get slick. You will not deceive the Holy Spirit, but the enemy will deceive you, because you are in Christ Jesus by word only. You're still operating in your flesh. Why? Look what it says here. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Therefore, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has, see that? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For to be carnally minded, look what it says here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You understand? The fact that you claim to be a Christian but have not had the new birth experience will not exonerate you from the power of human depravity in your life. You will continue to walk in your carnality. The only thing you will do is cloak it in religion. And so therefore, you will be a religious sinner. That's all. You are still under the condemnation of sin, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please don't deceive yourselves and don't allow yourselves to be deceived. Praise his matchless and glorious name. Hallelujah. Watch this. Okay? They politic for authority, seek to be hired by the largest congregations within their reach. Insecure people in ministry get their strokes from being in the ministry. They gain their power, position, recognition, security, financial income, and their sense of significance. Mature believers find that Jesus alone is there all in all. You don't need any of that. You know, when you're the authentic believer, you don't need any of that. Praise God to secure who you are. You understand that you are in Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God. That's all you need. Jesus is all you need. To be filled with the Spirit of the living God is all you need. You don't need human validation. I've sought for that for years. Listen, human validation is not going to get you to heaven. Just because you're recognized for a book or some religious achievement that you've made is not going to get you into heaven. You must be born again. You have to experience the supernatural phenomena of repentance in your life so that you might be saved. I've come to the end of this hour, praise the Lord. I thank you all for your indulgence, the indulgence of your time, and I pray for you all. I particularly pray for those who have been being prodded by the Holy Spirit to come out of the harlot church system, and yet they are hesitating. This message, praise God, is giving you this message so that how you're feeling in your spirit is confirmed by the word of the Lord, so that you can make the decision to leave the harlot church system. May the Lord richly bless you and keep you in perpetuity is my prayer for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And God bless.